The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Code of conduct.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. This is the Code of Conduct with the King podcast. I am your host, Jay Smith the King, and I am back for the first time in summertime. So everybody go ahead and get your beach bodies ready for the world. I hope y'all beach bodies are ready for the world, or at least I hope the world is ready for your beach bodies. How about that? After a year of COVID and gyms being closed and all that stuff, I'm hoping that y'all got y'all sexy back and y'all got y'all snap back right. But I'm gonna go ahead and let my gut hang and I'm gonna do my thing. But today, I'm excited because the Code of Conduct got a special guest. I got somebody that I admire and love so much. My homegirl, my sister, T. Estelle, is joining me. And listen, this is the first week of a 2-week thing that I'm doing where I'm gonna celebrate and kind of just bring in some guests who I just want to celebrate some people. I love people, and I there's a lot of smart, wonderful women. And so this week, I'm going to start it off with my homegirl, T. Estelle. Next week, it's kind of like the Colossal Conduct Part 2, but it's ladies' night style. So next week, I got major guests joining me. I got from Buffalo, I have Judge Pridgen joining me from Buffalo City Court. I also have Renee Washington of ESPN joining me next week on the show. I also have the go-getter herself from WBLK in Buffalo, Miss Adri V, joining me next week. And then I have Buffalo, everybody's favorite, news reporter of the past in Buffalo. Got my homegirl Madison Carter joining me next week as well. So we're going to have I'm the fifth wheel in there. So we're going to have a 5-wheel conversation going on, and it's not going to all be about sports. So don't come and be disappointed. What I wanted to do was I wanted to kind of switch it up a little bit next week and talk about, Buffalo. I wanted to talk about everything, and it's going to be some sports in there. We could definitely talk to Bills. We're going to definitely talk. I actually wanted to talk to Madison about a couple things that's going on in Buffalo that she no longer shares her opinion about. That's going down. But listen, come back next week, kick it with me. But today we're going to get this thing started because I've been waiting for this one all week. We actually had this planned for a little bit before I announced it. My sister, the one and only, Miss T. Estelle, what's going on with you?
What's up? What's up? How you doing?
Man, I'm great. I'm first, thank you for doing this.
Absolutely.
It's a big deal to have the host of the Natural Average podcast in the 716 joining the Code of Conduct. So thank you.
No, thank you. I appreciate you. You and Joe Miller has done a lot for me, so I appreciate you guys. I do.
Oh, all day. And by the way, Joe just said he loves the hat. He loves the
Thank
hat.
You.
Every time I see it, I just feel like you're supposed to be grilling. Like, it looks like the charcoal bag.
Right. It does. But yeah. I like it. I like the big buffalo right here.
Yeah, no, it's dope. I was going to get it. But like I said, every time, like when I went to order it, I kept looking at the screen. And I'm like, yeah, but I don't want people, it just looked like I'm about to barbecue.
Well, get the training camp one, because that one's fire too.
The training camp training is, what I want? I want the hat, the McDermott hat. Like I want the bucket.
Oh, you want the bucket joint.
Yeah, the bucket hat is fire. I love that.
Yeah, that is. Well, he got a bald head. He got to keep that head covered up.
Well, I got the braids. So,
that's right.
Yeah, the sun get on the scalp and it'd be brutal at times, especially out here in Arizona, man. It was like 109. Last week we had every single day was over 115.
You even there? That's too hot.
It ain't though. Like, no? I thought that at first before I moved here, and I'm like, nah, I can't do the heat. I can't do it.
Man, I left Buffalo. First of all, I'm not a big cold guy. I'm not a cold and snow guy. I know I was born and raised in Buffalo. I know everybody likes to call me soft because of it. I'll take it. But it's only because, so I tore my ACL, MCL, meniscus when I was younger. Okay. And I just had knee issues ever since. And my knee hurts, my back hurts. So the cold just was never fun for me. Yeah. I moved out here. I'm going to just tell you, I have no pain. Like, none.
I believe it. I have arthritis, so. Yeah, I understand.
I'm telling you, T, just come on. I'm gonna start recruiting.
That's too hot, though. That's too hot.
I dig. You got to come visit after October is like when it's like it's that time. So like in Buffalo, when it starts to get into the 50s and 60s and then like inch towards those 40s, October, November, I'm still looking at 75, 80. So it's a good time
bad.
Of year for
me. Yeah, that's not bad at all. Okay, that's still golf for my fire pit weather. That's still fire pit weather.
It is. And especially like once you hit November, it gets chilly at night. Like, you know, in the evening times, it gets into that 40 range, that, you know, the upper 30. So I'm out there with the fire pit. I'm telling you, you got to come visit.
Yeah,
you
I will. Come visit. Definitely. For sure.
Yeah, you and wife, y'all got to make it happen. ASAP. Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
So, but let's get right into this thing. I just kind of wanted to make sure everybody knew, first of all, this is real family. That's why I wanted to have a quick little convo like that.
Yeah, definitely.
Because this ain't just a regular guest for me. This is my sister.
We're going
to get into it. It seems like I said I wasn't even going to talk about it right before we went in, but I feel like why not? I'm going to just.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's start off at the top with what was Bills Mafia has been going crazy about. Normally, I don't talk about the political stuff. Cole Beasley came out and he put this whole I don't even know what to call it. Like, you know,
he divided the family. That's what happened.
He did. He absolutely did. And it is not as to me. I don't look at it on the same level as the Aaron Rodgers dividing Green Bay, because you really have some fans who are like, you know what? I'm sick of this dude. Get him out of here. Mm-hmm. Then you have some fans that are like, dude, it's Aaron Rodgers. I don't think it's quite that deep. No. But the divide is heavy. You got people who think, you know, hey, go get the damn vaccine. And then you got people that's like, hey, I don't need the damn vaccine. Where do you stand? Not necessarily your personal decision, but where do you stand as far as how this is affecting Bills Mafia, how this is affecting the team?
Well, first of all, I think it's everybody's personal choice to do whatever, right? Personally, I can say it. I'm vaccinated. A lot of people around me aren't vaccinated. They don't want to get vaccinated. And I'm fine with that. I think everybody has a choice to do whatever they need is best for their family. You know what I mean? So if you want to get vaccinated, fine. If you don't want to get vaccinated, fine. But it's not to the point where we have to argue about it. It's like it's everybody's personal opinion. What I feel is that Cole Beasley should have just followed suit like everybody. People wasn't talking about it. They weren't saying anything. They said, I don't feel comfortable discussing it. And I don't know why he did it. He said he's willing to retire. I think that's a bit much, but he's willing to retire.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a bit much to retire. Here's the thing. I can't say, well, I will say whether I agree or not. I'm like you. I'm vaccinated. I personally believe the vaccination has shown positive things. Like, I believe that it works. Mm-hmm. However, I take the stance, and I've said this previously, like when Josh made a statement before it was about Josh, even when it was just even before the football players start talking about the vaccine,
right.
the entire time, my stance has been, you know, whatever you feel comfortable with as an individual.
Yep.
So when it comes to Cole Beasley, first, I think it's cool. We don't know how every player feels, but I think it's cool that his teammates are supporting him.
Yes.
What I do, I guess for me, the thing that concerns me is that it does seem like this is a bit dramatic. And by dramatic, I don't mean Cole is being too dramatic or not. What I'm saying is the attention that is bringing on to the team at the current moment, I just don't think it's necessary at the time. Like we're in our goal season, or we're in our vision season. You know what I mean? Like, so it's like last year, I felt like we were a year ahead of schedule as far as the performance. Like we, you know, made it to the AFC Championship. We won the division. I thought that was going to be this year. So now I'm like, oh, this is the year we need to make it to that game.
Right.
I just don't want to be distracted. Do you feel like it's a distraction that's going to derail us? Or do you think this is something that the team can kind of rally around?
I think it's tough because you had a player opt out because of concerns with COVID, right? Star. So our team is so locked in that I don't think it will be a distraction. Right. I don't. Again, Kobe, that's his personal choice. And like before, like people were saying, you know, that's their choice to choose to do it or not. Their teammates are going to rally behind them regardless of whatever. I don't think it will be a distraction because our team, like I said, is so locked in and so solid, you know? So, I mean, their team, Gabriel Davis was supporting him. So, mm-hmm. you know, so I don't think it would be a distraction at all.
Yeah.
Is it a distraction for the fans? Absolutely.
Oh my God. Yes. Well, you know what, right now there's no real news. So like, of course, this is the only thing we have to talk about. Like, what was it? Friday he did this or Saturday, whatever day.
Saturday, yeah. I think it was Saturday.
So whenever it happened, it was like, okay, yeah, this is going to dominate the headlines for mm-hmm. the next 2-3 days.
Because there's nothing going on. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, like I said, I agree with you. I don't think it's going to derail the team, but man, it would be fun. It would be a great thing if we could just go in there like last year, business as usual, and just let our play do the talking. But, you know, it is what it is. I just kind of wanted to touch on that for a quick moment. I don't mm-hmm. want to stay on that too long because, like I said, it's a topic that is very sensitive, and I don't want to offend anybody by having my own personal right. opinion. I just think that it's one of those things where I just wish that the team could really, really just focus on being, you know, just winning that chip this year. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we can do it. So, yes. So before we get into the, I sent you a few questions to prepare. How do you feel about the Bills going into the season? You know, after losing in the AFC Championship, are you confident that A, we're going to get back, and then B, did we do enough to beat the Chiefs? Did we do enough to beat the Buccaneers if we end up meeting them in the Super Bowl or whatever team from the NFC East? The NFC. Are we able to do it? Are we there?
I feel good going into the season. We added some pieces on offense, and we have pieces like what's his name, Isaiah Hodgins. We don't know what he looks like, right? So I feel that we have pieces on offense. Our defense worked together again, you know, solid. I think they will be better this year. Have we done enough to beat the Chiefs or Tampa Bay? No, I don't feel like we have done enough. Yeah. But I also feel that our defense should be better because mm-hmm. White had an off season last year. Let's just be honest. He wasn't mm-hmm. Trey White from, 2 years ago? Or maybe, 2 years ago. He wasn't that guy. I mean, I think he got exposed. And I said that, I want to say that prior to what you sent me some questions. I think he got exposed. And I think that he needs to go back to wherever, like the drawing board, and see what it is that he did wrong or can, you know, tweak to see if you can get back to that form, because he was exposed.
Well, before you move on from that really quickly, I just want to I want you to clarify what you mean by exposed. Because, you know, especially Bills Mafia, we have a tendency to, like, for instance, we're going to talk about the overreaction to what I said last week as well. But we have a tendency to overreact to some takes without thoroughly listening to right. the actual point. So when you say that he was exposed, what do you mean by that?
I think that he's great when it comes to zone, right? But I don't think when it comes to man, he's not that great. And I think they knew that, and they ran it on his – because not even that. He never really got balls thrown his way. And if he did, he was on it. This year, they went towards him a lot. And I think they was just like, we can expose him. We know what the other side can do, but we want to lock in on White. I don't know if he was, because this is COVID season. I don't want to say that Trey wasn't, you know, playing afraid or nothing like that. But I just think that they went to his side and seen some things and just went to it.
Yeah, the way I see the defense, and because I agree with your I don't agree with the take that Trey was exposed. Okay. I think that he regressed, but I agree with your take about the defense overall. I think we're going to have a far better defense than we saw last year. I've been saying this now for like maybe the last like 5-6 weeks on different shows. I feel that our defense is going to resemble more what we saw 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So last season, Starr opting out, and then the injuries to Tremaine Edmonds, the injury to Matt Milano. We had, I think, coming into the season, not that, please don't get me wrong, not that Josh Norman was going to be a game changer, but going into the season, Josh Norman was injured. I believe they had a certain type of rotation they were looking forward to use or to using, and it didn't happen that way. So because of that, I think our defense is going to take a step forward this year when Starr gets back, and he looks good to me. Starr looks great.
Maybe I'm just a fan who was like, I couldn't wait to see Starr, and when I seen mm-hmm. him, I was excited. I was like, okay, because yeah. then that it's different. The whole defense is just different. You know, Oliver is back to just hit where he needs to be. Everything is just different. So yes, Starr plays a big part of that. So
to that point, I think that directly affected Trey. I think it directly affected the secondary. I know in most times it's like, well, no, that's the line play. I think what happened was, in years past, our defensive line has really put pressure on the quarterback. Mm-hmm. Last year, I know we had great numbers when it comes to, like, statistically quarterback pressures. I don't believe it. Like, when I watch the games, to me, a quarterback pressure actually means you're disrupting the play. It might not necessarily mean a sack, but it's an incomplete play. You're tipping the ball, something. I didn't see that with all of the numbers that we were awarded, you know.
Because so, didn't they say that, not to cut you off, mm-hmm. oh, my God, Jerry Hughes, he affected the quarterback. And I'm
believe
just
he was like top three in the league, or right. he may have led the league in like pressures. I don't know what the stat is off the top because it was thrown out there, but he was a top pressure getter right. in the league last season. But I don't, again, I don't feel like if you're not actually disrupting the play, I don't feel like you're really applying that type of pressure. So on that back end, yeah, if now receivers have those extra 3 seconds to get open, mm-hmm. you know, I think Trey's a phenomenal talent. I think I still think he's top three cornerback in the league. I don't think last year looked like it, but no. I still think he's that guy. So, you know, but I hear you. I understand your take, and I'm interested to see how he responds to last season.
Yes.
I'm interested to see my guy, Levi Wallace. I know I was critical on him last year. How do you feel about Levi?
I love Levi. I do. And he's like one of my favorites too. I got like 5 on the team, but he's one of my favorites because I just love the dog in him because he came mm-hmm. from nothing. Like, he's a walk on, you know what I mean? And a person like that will give you their all. They'll work harder for you. So and not even that, no one has taken the job from him, the position from him. So, you know,
That's the thing. You bring in Josh Norman, and I get it. He's physically limited compared to who he has been in the past, but he's Josh Norman. So you just assume, hell yeah, we signed Josh Norman. It's going down.
Yeah.
Josh Norman, on top of him not being healthy, I mean, he's getting thrown into other stadiums from Derrick Henry. Like, the dude got through from Tennessee all the way back to Buffalo. And it's
they show that play every now and again.
That I watch the play. Like, I bring it up.
That play and Hopkins play. It's like on repeat all the time.
Well, the hot play, I see the hot play literally every day.
I live in Phoenix.
So like, I see that play. It's like, to them, that was their championship. And I get it. You know, they went 8-8. So they had to have something to be happy about. Oh, we beat the Bills at the last moment, blah, blah, blah. No diss to my Cardinals peoples. I got season tickets. So this year, my NFC team will be the Cardinals. But last year I was salty about that. I ain't gonna lie. but no, it's going to be fun this year. I think now, again, these are all questions I didn't even prepare. So I'm sorry.
It's cool.
It's just how the conversation's going. I think the league needs to, I'm not saying they're going to like be the Bills this year, but the league needs to be a little bit more concerned about the Cardinals than they are. They had a very good offseason. It wasn't just J.J. Watt. You know, they brought mm-hmm. in James Conner to support the run game. They brought in some more defensive pieces. Obviously, they brought in, you know, my guy from Cincinnati. I know injuries have played a huge part in a lot of wide receivers. Yeah, yeah. And so injuries, hamstrings, and all those things play a big role in wide receivers' game. We're looking at Julio Jones coming from Atlanta down to Tennessee. When I tell you AJ Green is a guy that I've used to want the Buffalo Bills to go after so many years, like, go get him. Just go get him. And they never would go get him.
Though. You aren't the only one saying that.
Well, yo, I'm going to just tell you. To be on the opposite side of Hopkins out here, he don't have to be that number one guy. He's not going to get bracketed no more. He's not going to get double teamed. I'm so excited to have season tickets to watch good football. It's going to be so much fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, that's great. I mean, you know, I don't have, well, I do have another team. It's secretly the Browns, so. I know.
You know how I feel about.
I know. I just like their team. I like their running backs. I like Odell Beckham. I just think they got a solid team. And I put out there, I said, because, you know, sometimes I like to troll. Oh, yes. Okay.
That's my dude. So he's on my wall of fame in my home. So I don't hate on OBJ. OBJ's my dude.
Yeah.
It's bum ass Baker. That's who it is. And I shouldn't call him bum ass Baker publicly in live, but bum ass Baker, he just has to show me a little bit more.
Well, I said, you know what I said, and I probably was trolling people, is that I said, if he doesn't perform this year, I think he's going to be out. But, you know, I don't think that's going to happen. But he has a lot around him.
Yeah.
And for him not to perform, what's up?
And I know he took a step forward last year, and I know they they did very well in the playoffs. So listen, let me be honest for a moment and be real. I give props to Baker. You know, he's the first quarterback in Cleveland to go to the playoffs in like forever. He's the first quarterback to really feel like they have something. So I'm giving him all the credit in the world. But let's take a step back and look at this for a moment. Josh Allen got dragged. His rookie year, his sophomore year, he got dragged when he was throwing to Kelvin Benjamin. Like he was throwing to, like, you know, Zay Jones. Was, right. Like he's throwing to people who forgot how to, like, catch. They didn't even know what the football looked like, yet alone to know how to catch it. So You got now Baker. He's had Landry. He's had, you know, David and Njoku. He's had two great running backs, Kareem Hunt. You let us get a back like Kareem Hunt to go along with
Stephon Diggs.
Get Hooper. So this is my point. Like, he's had this roster with these type of stars his entire career, and he's been bum-ass Baker this entire time. Josh had one season with a great roster around him, and look what he did. He was the runner-up for MVP.
Yeah.
Baker went number one overall. He come in doing all this dancing and swagging and all this stuff, and he talking like he's dangerous. Man, go win some games.
Was never a fan. I mean, I'm a Browns fan because of my father, but, you know, and I continue secretly watch them.
Yeah.
But Baker's definitely not my quarterback. I mean, I watch him. You know, you have to watch other teams in order to see how your team stacks. You just can't be focusing on the Buffalo Bills. Like, I don't understand people that just watch the Bills. I don't understand that.
Well, I like Cleveland. It's Baker. That's what I'm saying. Like, I like Cleveland. I really do. I think their defense is awesome. They have a very good defense. Young players who are very talented. They're Teller's the guy that got away on their
offensive line. Mike. Let me tell you, I got an autograph. I went to training camp one year and he signed my football. And I was just like, I'm watching this kid. And then we let him go. And then he went to freaking Cleveland. And he's balling out.
Well, the thing was that year, and, you know, like thinking back to it, Bills fans were happy and excited, as we should have been at that time, because he wasn't going to make the roster.
Yeah.
Like, I know what he developed into and what he's become, but that year he wasn't making the roster. So for Brandon Bean to get a draft pick for him, it was like, oh, shoot, Brandon Bean's the GOAT.
No, he is.
But now hindsight, it's like, come on, man. Yeah. Like, we needed that. We needed that. But but no, to your point, Cleveland's a good team.
Yeah.
I just expect a little bit more out of Baker. So we'll see what happens this year. Yeah. What's your prediction for those guys this year? We got the extra game now, too. So last year they did pretty good. Where do you see them this year? 10-7, 11-6?
Who, us or Cleveland? I say 12-5.
12-5. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So you're expecting them to win that division because
I am.
So you think they're gonna outdo the Ravens?
I do.
Okay.
I don't know. Lamar has to show me something different. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I need to see something with that arm. He's a phenomenal athlete.
And I love him.
I take offense when people throw out there like he's not a quarterback. No, he got drafted as a quarterback.
No, he's a quarterback.
He throws the ball. Actually, he throws the ball well. The problem isn't that he can throw the ball well. He doesn't throw it well consistently. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't throw it well accurately consistently.
But he'd rather run than throw the ball.
Yeah, and for reasons, obviously, right. for obvious reasons, the guy is he can make a whole team miss. Like I've seen plays from him where he's like, he shook me out watching him on TV, and it's just like this isn't natural.
Yeah, he damn sure shook the camera out. The camera was nowhere near that. I was just like, oh wow, he's beautiful to watch. But you know, you need to see more from him if you're going to get. Well,
He got Sammy out there.
Oh, that's
He got Buffalo's kid out there now, and I still like Hollywood. I think Hollywood's a pretty good receiver. Let me ask you this, because with the Lamar conversation, I get so bent out of shape, man. Like everybody is like, well, you know, Lamar is this, Lamar is that, but he needs a true number one receiver. My problem is he won the MVP award with pretty much the same offense, but he got Dobbins, which is a great running back who can also receive. Now he has Sammy. So it's like he has a little bit more talent around him. And y'all talking about he needs a number one receiver. How do you feel about that? Like, I feel like, you know, it's one of those things where, again, and maybe it's me being a Bills fan. Josh Allen doesn't get that benefit of the doubt. Like, oh, well, he needs a number one receiver when he was throwing to Kelvin Benjamin. Nobody cared that he didn't have a number one receiver. Right, they were just saying, oh, he's inaccurate. He couldn't hit the side of a barn from inside of it. That's what they were saying about my quarterback.
Yeah.
But now that Lamar Jackson doesn't have a number one receiver, they want to give him excuses for taking that L in Orchard Park in the playoffs. Nah, bro.
What does that have to do with anything? You took an L because you couldn't throw the ball down the field. And that defense was on you. It had nothing to do with your wide receivers, nothing like that. Our defense showed up. And thank God our defense did show up.
And you know what? Real quick, not to cut you off, my man Steve Lynn just said the book is out on the Ravens offense. And I tell you what, it is. And you know, I think the Bills absolutely knew it. I know McDermott didn't coach with him, but the Bills know Greg Roman very well.
Oh yeah.
We've seen it all too close.
Yeah.
So but go ahead. Finish your point. I'm sorry for
cutting. Oh no, I was just saying that LeBarnt couldn't throw the ball down the field because our defense was just keeping him in that pocket and wouldn't allow him to get out of it. And that game was so intense. I knew we were going to win because our defense played on a different level that day, a different level. And I was just amazed because everybody thought that Lamar was going to come out and just throw the ball over the field, which our defense wasn't. Our defense was prepared to do whatever it took to keep him confined. Because you remember when they played in Buffalo that one year and he ran all over us, but also they kept him contained, right? But those tight ends was killing us. But Lamar was contained. If we have a defense like that this year, there's no stopping us.
We do. And I think this is a very good transition into the conversation about our rookies. I think that Greg Rousseau, I think that Carlos Basham, I think these guys being additions to our defensive line, I think it's going to help a lot because, you know, early in the show, I was talking about Jerry Hughes and the defensive pressure and all of that. These guys are going to get to the quarterback. And although I was disappointed draft night about Greg Rousseau,
I think everybody was.
I really was. And I felt bad. Like I told the story a million times, but I was on like the SB Nation. They had like a national show where they were doing like the live updates and all that stuff. So I was on there representing Buffalo Rumblings and they're like, all right, Jay Spence, here it is, Buffalo Bills select with the 30th pick, and they go for it. And I'm just like, I'm trying to have the energy in me, but I was just like, he's like, Greg Rousseau. And I'm like, oh.
Who the hell?
I'm like, oh, well, I knew him, but I was pissed off because, so for me, I'm not a draft king. I'm not one of those guys that's like into it, but I knew that his combine was horrible. I knew that he didn't, I know he didn't perform well for that. And to me, it's like, well, you knew you're going to be a top 10 pick. Why didn't you spend the entire year like grinding, hustling, like, but also, you know, I'm tripping because now we got a top five, top 10 talent at 30. That's what we got.
Yeah.
And yo, it's about to look good. What do you think about the rookie?
They're saying that Basham is better than him, but it'd be interesting to see because I think, so they said Basham is ready now to step in the role and just get in there where Greg Rousseau would have to, like, he's raw. He still needs, you know, some coaching up, whatever. But I'm excited about the tall. This guy is tall, lengthy, and they said that you give him a, you know, you tell him once, he can catch on real good. So I'm excited. I'm excited about it. And, you know, we have length now. All you have to do is put your hand up. You know what I mean?
You can't get there. Put your hand up.
Right. Exactly.
Exactly. So I'm loving it. I'm loving it. And
I see some things on him. He's good.
Yeah, he's very good. And to your point, Basham, from all of the talk, you know, in camp and even heading into the draft, you're right. He's ready for this year. The thing is, I think it really benefits the Buffalo Bills because we have two guys who, because I think Greg is the difference with Greg and Boogie is that Greg is his ceiling is so much higher.
Yes.
You get what I'm saying? So, so like right now he's not as ready as Carlos, and Carlos is, you know, he still has room to grow. Like he's going to get better too.
Right.
The book isn't out on either of these guys. However, I am actually very excited about Greg now. I wasn't before. So I'm admitting it. I was wrong. I'm admitting it.
At least you're admitting it, because this is the same thing going back to the fact that when Josh was drafted, people didn't want that Josh. They wanted Josh Rogan. And I can honestly say that I was in that camp as well. So when we did get the 30th pick and we got Greg, so I was just like, wait a minute, what?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I thought we were going for a cornerback. Okay, fine, I guess. Let me look this up. Let me look this guy up. And then we went right back into the same pit. I was like, wait a minute now. Okay, I need somebody to explain to me why we did this.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but I mean, I like the picks now.
Well, you know what, me and Joe talked after, and he was just like, dude, they went D-line and D-line, like they went edge and edge, like what the mm-hmm. So it was really a shocker to everybody. And but you know what, like you said, now it's grown on me. I like it. I love it. Because in reality, I was one of the guys that wanted Travis Etienne. He didn't make it to us, so you know, I can't be mad that he was taken before. And then also I wanted a cornerback. The team is high on Levi. The team is high on Dane Jackson. So apparently Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean know something or feel something that us Bills fans don't quite get.
Right.
And that's okay. That's okay. I'm trusting Brandon Bean at this point.
No, me too. I mean, I guess what it is that we won with him. We went where we went with him. So why would we change that? And I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. I'm just trying to get further.
Yeah. That's it. That's it. That's all.
Yeah.
You know, I think we need a step up from Levi and Dane Jackson. And we don't even know what Dane Jackson is all about, but body type and everything, it seems like it's the same, you know? So, I mean, I don't know, but maybe there's still players out there that we can get too. So I
heard Richard Sherman is still kind of holding out hope to sign to a contender. So I know he'll play somewhere, but I know he's been linked to Buffalo quite a few times. Do you see him as a potential fit for Buffalo?
I was going to ask you that. I don't know. I guess I'm just scoring from Josh Norman, those 1-year deals. If he can still play, great. I don't think we need leadership in that role. So, no, I'm good.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think it's going to happen. Now, what I do think is, and there are the physical limitations like we spoke about before, but I'm going to tell you what, he's one of the smartest guys.
Yes, he is. He is.
So in the sense of being a leader on the field, recognizing plays, making sure communication is going on, helping Tremaine Edmonds, I think a signing of Richard Sherman would absolutely benefit the Buffalo Bills. Like, again, I don't think it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see it happen. I would absolutely love to see it. And not for the sake of, you know, him beating out Levi. I would like to see Levi take it. I want to see Levi prove people wrong.
I would really love to see him take another step. If it's another step in him, I would love to see it. And if Richard Sherman can pull that out of him, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. So, but like I said, I don't see it happening. I think that, you know, unfortunately, physically, I do think he's lost a step. I do think that, you know, I think the Bills are looking to be younger, faster. We need speed. After that AFC championship, we need to be able to run around with some. So I just don't see it being Richard Sherman. But a moment ago, I talked to you about, and I said, you know, I admit when I'm wrong. I want to talk about something that I don't think I'm wrong about, but let's talk about it. Last week, I was on Joe Marino's podcast, the Locked On Bills pod, and apparently I got some heat because, as usual, we don't read articles or listen to the full, you know, podcast on things. How did you feel when you before we actually go into what was actually said, when you first saw it and was like, wait a minute, what did you think or how did you feel?
So when I first saw it, I was like, wait, what? Why?
For everybody, wait. For everybody who's not aware, I'm talking about, so Joe Marino did an exercise with myself, Joe, Bruce, the Cover One guys. He like really, it was quite a bit of content creators who were in this, and it was awesome. It was fun to do.
I loved it. I loved listening to it. It was, you guys had some great points.
And so, and what ended up happening was they asked, the question was, he would have liked for us to provide him with a list of the top 10 most important players to the future of the Buffalo Bills, looking through the lens of if this player reaches their ceiling and or maintains their current level of play for a number of continued years and how that will impact the success of the team. So I got beat up because I did not include Josh Allen in my top 10.
Let me ask you, though, isn't it a no-brainer? Because I took it when that happened, I took it as, I'm not saying him because we all know it's a no-brainer. But I guess I was wrong.
Well, no, I mean, that's a perspective, and that's one way of looking at it. And I believe that's pretty much what everybody else in the group did, because everybody had Josh at one. What I did was I took the question personally. You know, it said, who do you feel, my feelings? And it went to if the player reaches their ceiling. So to me, I took that. And for me, I'm thinking about the importance of what growth means for each individual position. As far as Josh Allen, I absolutely understand that Josh Allen is a beast. He is the beast. He's the runner-up for MVP last year. He's going to continue to be a beast, and we need to maintain that level of play, and he needs to continue to grow. That is not – so I just want to make the statement. Josh Allen is in my top 10 list of important players for the team.
Right.
The question, the exercise – is about, for me, it was about development. It was about what we need to see and how to take the next step forward as a team to win a championship.
Gotcha.
So to me, when I think of, if Josh absolutely gets better, we're going to keep getting better. But to win a championship, like, for instance, last season, if I take the team that we had and we look at that that AFC championship game, if Tremaine Edmonds
reached
his potential and played well, I don't think we are the same fan base right now, because I think we got a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I think, and then same thing. I had Stevenson at number three, only because I value Andre Roberts and I value special teams. To me, special teams, the importance of special teams has less to do with scoring the special teams touchdowns. They're nice. They're game changers. They're very nice. But I think if you can consistently win those field position battles. So it's important for a young quarterback like Josh. Last season, Andre Roberts is a big reason, in my opinion, why Josh Allen was a runner-up for MVP. Andre Roberts was a big reason why Josh Allen was a runner-up for MVP. Not because he was part of the offense. Andre Roberts didn't have over 100 yards receiving. He didn't have four touchdowns receiving. He didn't. The reason why he was that important was because he allowed Josh Allen to, A, start the game or start those drives in comfortable positions.
Yeah.
When you look at the game against the Colts in the playoffs, I brought this up with Joe. We consistently in that first half started on the 10, the 7, the 5, the 12. We were so close to the end zone that Josh wasn't comfortable. We weren't able to get the ball out. We punted the ball like three times in a row to start the game out.
And that's why that game was so close. That's why that game was so close.
Field position. When you see the games that Andre Roberts flipped the field consistently, it was nothing the other team could do. Josh starting at the 45-yard line. So you're telling me my quarterback has to go 55 yards to score a touchdown or 35 yards or 25 yards for a field goal? Of course, we're going to score every single time we're on the field. That's why Boho, you know, the Boho Mojo, he was the least used punter all last year, because Josh was able to score every single time. So that's all I'm saying. And I get it's a different take. I get it's a different perspective. I'm never the guy that's out there bashing my guys. I think that Josh Allen, I think he got robbed out of not the MVP, but I think he should have at the very least gotten most improved player. I think that I don't think that there's anybody who can debate that the step that Josh Allen took was monumental compared to anybody in the league.
I just think people are still stuck on the fact that there's a lot of people that will say, well, if he didn't have Diggs, he would not be the player that he is right now. Okay. Yeah. What's your point? I mean, a quarterback needs wide receivers, right? A quarterback needs a tight end. And if that tight end or that wide receiver is going to make that quarterback better, yeah. Mm-hmm. And like, it's one hand washing the other. So I don't understand it. But there's still people out there just don't think that Josh has taken a step. And it's just going to year four. And I don't understand why you're still stuck on accuracy. I don't understand why you're still stuck on he can't shoot the ball down the field. He can't hit Diggs on a dime. It's like, have you seen film? Have you seen games?
I was going to say, they're just not watching. Because if right. they're watching, his accuracy, and actually now for all the stat nerds, his accuracy is there. Yeah. You know, the numbers are there. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. But yeah, that was my perspective of it, though. It's not in any way diminishing the importance of Josh Allen in my eyes. I love
Josh. I didn't see it that way. I understood it to where it was like, of course, Josh is there. I'm not going to say he's definitely my number one, but I'm taking it. I took it that way. I didn't take it to where you were disrespecting Josh at all, not being top 10. Yeah.
All right. So moving on, we got 20 minutes left. I guess I just wanted to bring that up because everybody kept asking me, and there were people tagging me, and I'm like, look, go listen to the pod.
To all of it. It was great content. I loved it.
Well, and the thing is, I feel like I feel like if you actually listen to it, you wouldn't question why I did it. Like, people still disagreed, and that's fine. We can agree to disagree on things. But the motive and how I meant it, it was in no way malicious towards my guy.
No, absolutely not.
Let's talk about something else that seems to be a hot topic right now in Buffalo. It sounds like the Buffalo Bills have hired the same company that Jerry Jones used, or maybe it's Jerry Jones's company, but they've hired a company to, you know, kind of get the ball rolling on this whole process about a new stadium. And it sounds like it's going to be in Orchard Park at the same location on the same lot of land. And it also sounds like that means the Buffalo Bills are going to leave Buffalo for 2 years or 3 years while the stadium is being built.
Really?
Hey, how do you feel about? Oh, you didn't hear that?
No.
So reports are that the Buffalo Bills are looking to build a stadium in Orchard Park, right where the stadium is. And because of that, the Buffalo Bills may be relocating to a place that can house the team while the stadium is being built. So there may be a 2 to 3 year period where the team is not in Western New York.
Wow.
So hearing that, let me get your first reaction on that. What is your reaction to that news?
Where are they going? This is the first, like, I glanced over the article. I didn't even really read it because I knew we were going to discuss it, but I didn't know. I didn't see that part of it. Oh, my God.
Penn State is an option. I know they said Penn State, and I'll pull up the article while you're talking.
I'm shocked for one, 3 year, it's a 2 to 3 year plan for them not to be in Orchard Park. Wow. Hey, everybody wanted a stadium anyway. It's getting old. I don't care what you call it. Highmark, what is it, Highmark? The Ralph, the Bills Stadium, whatever you call it. It's old and it needs to, we need a new stadium. I don't go to the stadium all like that. I go to like the kids' step game. Because fans are crazy, and I have anxiety, so I don't go to the games. But I do go to, like I said, the kids' game, but kids' day game. But I'm really shocked. I'm shocked right now.
So how it reads, it says the facility could be ready in 2025. The current lease is set to expire in 2023. The team could be forced to play in an alternate location while it waits for the new stadium to be finished. Toronto and Penn State are the possibilities per source. And I see my guy Steve in the comments. He says that the lease can be renewed and the Bills can stay put as new stadium builds. I do not think that that's quite an option, sir. I think it's Toronto or Penn State as far as the possibilities if this is the route that we are going. Tiffany agreed, said we need a new stadium. Definitely need a new stadium. Yeah. I feel like Buffalo split on that. I feel like they're split on that. There's a good portion of Bills Mafia who appreciates the college feel, who appreciates what the Ralph has always been, the tailgating experience. And then there's a portion of Buffalo who travels and they go places and they get to see these other stadiums. You know, I lived in Indianapolis for 6 years, so I got to see Lucas Oil Field. And like when I tell you, it's beautiful, like it's gorgeous. Now I'm a driving distance away from Vegas. I didn't get to go in yet, but I got a chance to see the stadium.
That's beautiful. A beautiful stadium.
beautiful. Like the field rolls out for the, like, it's crazy. The new stadium in LA, you know, and then even now, even though Jerry's World has been there for a bit now, it's still the standard. Like it's freaking amazing. So you're looking at these stadiums and then you have a portion of the fan base that's like, no, we need that. We need that.
So it was the portion of the fans are because they like to tailgate. You think that's why they don't want to change the stadium? Because at these other stadiums, do they tailgate like we do?
Well, you know, at first, I don't know if it's a stadium thing, though. I don't think there's any city that really tailgates like Buffalo. Okay. And I'm not saying that in a respect to make Buffalo feel better. Like,
I got you.
Tailgaters. Mm-hmm. But I just think the rules pretty much everywhere are a whole lot different. There's still good tailgating in places, but nothing like Buffalo. Buffalo's more like a NASCAR event. Like Buffalo is Buffalo's trip.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. In college. Yeah. Because I went to a college game. It's definitely a college atmosphere. So, yeah. Okay. I think we need a new stadium. I think we do need a new stadium. I'm down with the new stadium. Again, don't base it on me because I really don't go to games like that. But they were saying also to having a partial dome or something. Or was it partial? What is it? A partial something dome they're trying to put over the stadium as well.
So they were going to have the retracting?
Yeah.
I didn't read that part. Yeah. I didn't see that. I read Ryan Tabbitt's and Matt Perino's article regarding it. So shout out to New York Upstate and my guys, Matt Perino and Ryan Tabbitt. Those guys are awesome over there.
Yeah, I listened to them too. They do the training camp.
Yeah, yeah. And they be on it. They be on it. So shout out to those guys over there. But yeah, I don't know where I'm at, T. Like I'm kind of, like I said, I want a new stadium, but also I don't live in Buffalo no more. So I'll be honest. I think it's probably going to be rare that I'm going to the stadium compared to how I would be if I was still in Buffalo. Like I'd have season tickets. Now I might go once a year. So I guess for me, it doesn't care. It's going to be a good experience either way.
Yeah.
But man, I would love a new stadium in Buffalo. The only thing that I don't like about it, which I might get beat up for, I don't want it in Orchard Park. I don't quite want it downtown, but I don't want it in Orchard Park. Like, I think it should be somewhere on Route 5, like you know, Lakeview, Waterfront, like the area down there, like route, like the Skyway, they're about to shut that down. Even if you're going closer to the city, like do it to where it's easy access to downtown and still access to like the Orchard Park area and the Lakeview area, like put it in the middle.
Right.
I think downtown needs to benefit from it. And I think Orchard Park shouldn't die from it. So,
right. Yeah.
You know, but again, I understand there's probably several factors that I have no clue about. And I'm just a podcaster.
That's me too. That's me too. Cause I'm like, put it downtown where, and I'm pretty sure like the in and out, you know, how are you going to get all the traffic in and out? So I'm like, whatever. I don't go to games anyway. I like to sit at home, watch my games with my family and friends. So,
well, the home, to me, the home thing is better just because, for update purposes, like at the game, you really can't hear things unless you're like on your phone or you're searching, like, why did he get injured? What happened? Like, so certain things you miss sometimes being at the game, but I'm gonna just tell you though, it's nothing like being at the Ralph, man. Like it's nothing like being at the Ralph. Like when the Bills are winning or when the game is competitive and the Bills do something that changes momentum or whatever, it rocks like no other place. Like I promise you, with the team being this good this year, you gotta go.
Yeah, I probably, because my neighbors are season tickets, and she's like, "You gotta go. Even if you just come to tailgate, I'll probably just go there, tailgate, and watch the game in the parking lot."
Mm-hmm. No, I feel like a lot of people do that.
Yeah, I'll probably just do that. Me and the kids, maybe we'll see. But I do want to experience it. I do, because we have a good team.
We do. And speaking of that team now, we're going to end this thing out. We got about 10 minutes left. I have two more questions for you about the roster, about the team now. So, look, last year we were super competitive. I feel like from top to bottom, I feel like pretty much there were maybe only two positions that if somebody of like, you know, a specific caliber came available, there's only a couple guys that they'd be like, all right, we'll replace you. Other than that, I think that they were happy with our team. Mm-hmm. This year, our wide receiver room is just as deep. Like, I feel like it didn't change with the exception of John Brown. We brought in Emmanuel Sanders, which to some is an upgrade.
Right.
And now you already brought up Isaiah Hodgins earlier. Gabriel Davis has shown up and shown out. He's shown us who he is. He's a man. He ain't no boy no more. That boy's a man. Okay. And he wants some respect on that name. So we got we got a deep roster.
Mm-hmm.
Who doesn't make it? We got Isaiah McKenzie. We got, you know, we drafted Stevenson to possibly be a return guy. Who do you think makes the cut in the wide receiver room?
Okay, so he normally keeps what, six, right? Seven, six. So anyway, yeah. So, okay, so I got my locks are Sanders, Diggs, Davis, Beasley. So then I got Hodgins and Stevenson. And those two can flip-flop, Stevenson and Isaiah McKenzie. Because Stevenson could be, he's going to be the, is he the punt returner?
Well, they drafted him with hopes that he could be a return, you know, to kind of fill in that role. And then, like I said, Isaiah McKenzie has made it clear that he wants to win that role.
Ooh. Yeah, that's going to be a battle. Beautiful battle, but it's going to be a battle. And I also think that Hodges is going to, we haven't seen him last year injured. And they were saying he was a better route runner than Davis.
Yep.
So I'm excited to see what he brings to the table.
I got him stashed on my dynasty team. He ain't played yet, but I got him stashed. I got dude stashed. It's over. Because as soon as, you know, I got a couple Bills fans in the thing too. So, like, you know, the moment that anything positive happens, they snatch him up. So, like, they got Davis. They got, like, every Bills player was gone ASAP.
I
don't even think I have a Bills player on my roster. Besides, because after the draft was over, I was like, oh, Hodgins is here? Bet. Cheap. I'm picking him up. It's over.
Yeah, I don't think I have nobody on the Bills. I don't think I do. No. I got Dak that I'm not giving up because I think he's going to have a breakout season. Yeah.
Oh, for sure. I think my guy, so actually, Rick, one of the guys that are, he's in the fantasy league that we're in, the dynasty league that we're in together. He's a Cowboys fan, and, like, we always talk, like, we would go to the dog park. So that's where I met him out here at the dog park.
Oh, okay.
And we would talk. He's a Cowboys fan. And he, you know, he's one of those guys that he didn't even believe in his own roster. Like, he's like, man, the Cowboys. And I'm like, I get that the Cowboys didn't perform like you wanted them to last year. I also get that the year before that, the Bills came down here for Thanksgiving and basically cooked y'all for Thanksgiving dinner. You know what I mean? We did that. I get it. Last year, Dak was gone, man.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, Dak is better. Like, Dak is better than a lot of people are giving him credit for. I think Jerry Jones disrespected that man tremendously by not giving him his money before last season. Yes,
before that injury. Absolutely.
Yeah, so I
was so hurt when I seen that. I was so hurt. I was so hurt that happened because he played on, I know I'm going to get my money. And most players wouldn't play until you get their money, until you got your money. And, you know, I just felt for him. I did.
Well, luckily, Jerry realized, like, okay, quarterbacks aren't that easy to find. So, yeah, let me give Dak the money because, you know, it just didn't work out as well last year. And it's not even like they had a nobody back there at quarterback. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, they had a good replacement, but it's just not the same as when you get a guy who could be a top seven quarterback. You keep that top seven quarterback.
Absolutely.
Don't get spoiled. But another roster question for you real quick, because I don't want to keep going to the Bills. But what do you think about the running back room? Devin has said this offseason, like, you know, he's some pictures have circulated on Twitter and Instagram, and he's like extra buff. And, you know, and Zach, we see Zach kind of, we're hearing reports about Zach has rehabbed well, and he's, you know, and then we brought in Matt Breida. A few weeks back, I had Antonio Williams on the show who had a big performance last year in week 17 against the Miami Dolphins. Look, no, we don't have Christian McCaffrey and Saquon Barkley, but we got Devin Singletary and Zach Moss and Matt Breida, and we have a damn good – we have guys with good talent.
Yes.
How do you think that running back room shapes out?
Well, you know, Devin put in that work this year, this offseason. I think when he's playing or he was training with Nick Hicks, I want to say his name is. Mm-hmm. He was training with him, so – and I think that Devin knew – that his techniques was wrong. He was just running, no technique at all. So when he got with him, I think all of that put together, he's going to change. His speed's going to be better. I think Devin is going to be running back one. Breida has to show up because he has to earn a slot. It's not given to you just because, you know, they put you here. You have to earn that. Even though he is fast and he can have, you know, screen game all day. So I think it's Devin, Moss, and Breida and Williams are going to fight it out.
Battle it out.
Yeah.
So here's my theory. I think they keep all four guys. I think that Williams makes the roster. I think that Breida makes the roster. And obviously our top two guys make the roster. I think, don't kill me, Bills fans, because I love this guy just as much as everybody else. I think Matt Breida becomes the new jet sweep guy. I think he becomes the new quick guy because he's the speed man. Mm-hmm. I think he wins the punt return job. I think he, you know, he has a place on this roster in special teams and gadget plays. And he's going to bring the speed element that we don't have out the backfield. I think Isaiah McKenzie is the odd man out. As much as, and you all know, I love that dude, Isaiah mm-hmm. McKenzie. I think he's probably the best personality after Deion we have on the team.
Yeah.
I love him. So I'm not saying I wish he would be gone. I just see the way the team is building out. I see how the roster is. And as talented as Isaiah McKenzie is, you know, it's going to be the same thing that Bills fans complained about last year with Roberts. Mm-hmm. If all he's doing is returning punts, or if all he's doing is
jet sweep,
he's not a big part of the offense.
But it's a big part of the team. It's a big part of the team. It's a big mm-hmm. part of how Josh was able to do what he did. You know, it's just like Marquise Goodwin when he left. Mm-hmm. They were saying that he wasn't part of the team. I was just like, man, yeah, I loved him too because he was a speedster as well. But
yeah, I love that one. Man. I think he opted out last year due to COVID.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he and his family had some high, you know,
yeah.
But I love him too. I think if I'm not mistaken, I haven't been keeping up with him. I think he's out there in Philly. I think.
Last he heard, he was in Philly. Yep.
Yeah, shout out to my guy Marquise Goodwin, man. He mm-hmm. and his wife, man, just good people. Good people.
They have a YouTube channel. We got some
players.
Yeah.
Oh, do they? I got to get more involved with YouTube. I have to.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, no, I really do. I really do. But they, I got to get more involved with Instagram. I got to get more involved with it. Like, I'm only on Twitter for the most part, so I just mm-hmm. I gotta figure that out, especially with the way the show is going and the growth.
Yeah.
And I got to get out there. So, but listen, T. I enjoyed this time with
you.
Like, you know, we got to do this again.
Absolutely.
We got to do this again.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So before I let you go, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you? Tell everybody what your network, you know, where they can find your network. Talk about Mike. I'm so rude. I didn't even bring up Mike. I'm sorry, Mike, if you listen or if you're listening to this,
it's my bad, dude.
All right. No, I don't disrespect Mike. That's the big homie, Mike. So I don't want to disrespect him. So, but yeah, let everybody know where they can find you and Mike and let everybody know about the network.
Okay, well, Not Your Average Podcast in the 716. We come out on Thursdays on Spotify. All the listens, this is Mike's part, all the listens and all the C's. I'm on Twitter, Not Your Average Podcast. I'm on Instagram, same thing, Not Your Average Podcast. Whatever you type in, I am there. I'm on Network, Podcast City Network, little independent joint. And, you know, I'm just keeping it small. And follow me. We're entertaining, if anything.
Hey, yeah, y'all make sure y'all go follow my sister. And is Mike on Twitter? Do I follow Mike?
Mike, you know, the crazy thing about Mike, he hates social media. The only thing he has is Facebook.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to get Mike to get up on,
yes,
on
other
stuff. So I can interrupt
him all the time. Yeah.
So we're going to make that happen. So
yes,
my man, Mr. Diggs in here said that he's sorry he missed it. Listen, man, it's all good, Mr. Diggs. You can come back next week. I got a big show coming up next week, too. And I'm going to get T back in here sometime before the season starts. We're going to get it going again. But I thank you for coming to kick it with me, Mr. Diggs. Yes. It's all good. And listen, y'all know how I do it over here. Next week, like I said, I got a big show coming. I got Judge Pridgen from Buffalo City Court. I got Renee Washington from ESPN. I have Adri V from WBLK, to go get her herself in the building. And I have Miss Madison Carter, the one and only Miss Madison Carter, joining me. We're going to have ladies night. It's about to be like, I'm amped. And for people who don't know, Judge Pridgen is my blood, like literal blood sister. So I'm excited to have my sister on here too. I like to do family things and everything. So, guys, listen, Bills Mafia, I love y'all. I love y'all so much. I thank y'all for rocking with me. Y'all know where to find me. Do me a favor, go on that Buffalo Rumblings YouTube network and hit subscribe, hit that like button. Then go on Spotify, go on Apple Music and subscribe to that channel too. And look for the Code of Conduct. This episode will be live tomorrow on Tuesday. Listen, I love y'all. And y'all know how I do it over here. Take care of each other, love each other, and live in peace. And as always, stay positive and test negative. Go Bills. Thank you.